I do have a couple of announcements today. First, I'd like to say congratulations to Conrad and Michelle from Florida on their ordination to associate elders. And the second tithe forms are now available to the elders on the EMC. And in regarding those second tithe assistants for this year, those applying will need to fill out the form and return it to the elder that they received it from in their area that is handling that. And only those that have faithfully saved their first, second tithe and holy day offerings need apply. And even so, all that apply may not be approved. If you have received assistance year after year, you may not receive assistance, as we will be going back to every 2 or 3 years as before. And now for the sermon today. I would like to say welcome to everyone today on God's Sabbath day. And we are in the Orlando area today, along with Laura, Myrtle, the Giles, and myself. And as we saw in the last sermon that I gave, we saw that God has never really fully revealed himself to mankind, except on a very limited basis. But God is getting ready to reveal himself to the whole earth in just a short while, when he sends his Son, Jesus Christ, back to this earth to set up the kingdom of God upon this earth and to set up the government of God so man can have a just government upon this earth finally. And then a massive re-education will begin upon this earth, and everyone will know who the great God of this universe is and who his Son, Jesus Christ, really is. Like I said, God is going to send his Son back to this earth as King of Kings to set up the government of God upon this earth. And then no one can deny who Jesus Christ is, as he will come back in great power. This earth has been left to itself for 6,000 years with a being that has been able to influence mankind. But that is coming to an end. He will be put in chains and not be able to influence mankind until he is released for a little while at the end. God and his Son have to be very excited to be able to chain this being. And with the post that just came out to explain about this being that will be chained and what will take place, and it's an awesome thing to understand, brother. All the pieces of the puzzle are just about in place. We just about have a complete picture. And this being will not be able to influence mankind until he is released for a short while at the end. And this is explained in the post. And God is getting ready to establish his government upon this earth with the 144,000, as we know, when he returns. And they will be the first fruits, as we know. That 144,000 that will rule with Jesus Christ upon this earth. Therefore, being the first to become Elohim in God's plan after Jesus Christ. And there will only be one government upon this earth, a righteous government that will rule with justice, true justice upon this earth, finally. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It is the family of God, Elohim, that God is creating to rule upon this earth under Jesus Christ. God Almighty has been bringing us to a specific point in time in a very organized and steady manner. God does nothing by chance. God had a plan from the beginning. And God had a plan for a remnant church that would be here at the end of an age. And we will continue on today in the sermon series, The Remnant Church. And this will be part 3. And that will be your title today. Let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 3, and that's where we'll begin. We understand that God is the master potter, and he works with each one of us in the church of God through His Spirit. We know that God had a plan from the beginning. And we look at the pictures that are sent back to this earth through this Hubble telescope. We can see the awesomeness of God through that creation that He created, the physical parts. And it's undeniable to you and me, those that have God's Spirit, that there is a God and He is a creator God. So it's undeniable to you and me. And even with God's Spirit, we cannot comprehend what He has created, just in a physical sense. And we can't comprehend what He is creating in Elohim, not fully. We can see God's creation in the physical universe. And we understand that He has an even greater creation, and that is His family, Elohim. And those of us at the end of the age who find themselves in this remnant church, the Church of God, PKG, we do have a front row seat to see the most awesome events at the end of this age. God has been creating Elohim, His family, the first phase, to rule with Jesus Christ upon this earth at His return. And there would be a remnant at the end of an age that would be prepared for the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. We looked at how this remnant church was formed at the end of an age in the last two sermons. And today we will continue to look at this remnant church that would be here at the end of an age. God gave instructions to His church. And let's look at what God says in His book. Hebrews 3 and verse 7 we find, "Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the rebellion or in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness." So what is being said, what God is telling you and me, it's the instruction that He has given to us, His church. God is telling us to listen to the message He is conveying to us, the Church of God, PKG. And it's about hearing the voice of God. And this is the example that is being given. And it's a good example because of where we are in time. The knowledge that has been given to you and me in this end time, in this remnant church at the end, it has been more than at any other time in the history of man. When we look back in time, we realize that they were a carnal people. But we also understand that we are to learn lessons from what took place in the past. And it paints you and me a picture down through time. And that is why God had it written the way that He did, so that it was recorded for you and me, those that would become part of Elohim, the first phase. We know that they did not have God's Spirit leading them, guiding them. But we do. And that is the difference. God expects more from us because we have access to Him, Yahweh, through His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 12. "Take heed, brethren." Let's notice what is being said. "Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of disbelief," of unbelief, "in departing from the living God." There was a line drawn in the sand when God revealed more about Himself and that there was only one God that had eternally existed. God revealed more about Himself and His Son, Jesus Christ, through an end-time prophet at the end of an age. And this separated us from the rest that was scattered. And this separated a remnant of God's people at that time when this was revealed. And like I said, it drew a line in the sand, so to speak. And as God reveals more to His church, this remnant church, at the end of an age, God gives warning about hardening our hearts better said the mind, which would lead to departing from the living God. So God gave warning to you and me, that remnant that would be here at the end of an age, just before the return of God's Son to this earth. So be turning to Acts chapter 5, and we'll move down to verse 29. Acts chapter 5 and verse 29. This remnant church was given great understanding about God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Obedience is required by God, especially as greater understanding is given. And we will cover some of the things that were covered in the last sermons, but we need to understand who God the Father and Jesus Christ is and what took place. Acts 5 and verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than man." What was taking place is they were told not to speak in Christ's name, not to use His name, and they made it clear that we obey God rather than men, regardless of the circumstances we find ourselves in. And we are to obey the God of our fathers. So how could it be any clearer, the God of our fathers? When we understand what we went through in the last two sermons that was given on this remnant church, the God of our fathers, we saw who was the God of our fathers, Yahweh, El Shaddai. And we saw through the scriptures, especially in the Psalms, that talked about who Yahweh was and who Jesus Christ was. And we saw how it was the God of our fathers that raised up Jesus Christ. And it became very clear from a prophet of God that God used at the end of an age to explain who God was and who Jesus Christ was and what took place. We understood who the God of our fathers was through this end time prophet. And we understood that the God of our fathers is who raised up Jesus Christ, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. And the scriptures tell us that Him, God, is exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel. And let's notice what's being said, and forgiveness of sins. Him has God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel. I'll repeat it again, and forgiveness of sins. And we are His witnesses of these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to them. Better said, which God had given to them that obey Him. Better said. We know that it's God who does the calling, and it is God that raised up Jesus Christ. And we understand that He is the one God that eternally existed, and that He is the one that did this. And we are approaching Passover. And it's the time of the year that we focus on the suffering that Jesus Christ suffered while He was upon this earth. And we focused on this partly in the last sermons. And last year, I think we did a series on the road to crucifixion, which really brought it to the forefront of the suffering that He suffered. And we saw how Jesus Christ suffered in the last few weeks of His life. We think we suffer, but the one who came as our Savior because of sin suffered mightily. And we know this because what is written in this book, God's book, about Jesus Christ and how He would be beaten beyond recognition. Acts chapter 3 and verse 12, we find. And as I said, we saw in the last sermons who God the Father was, and His name was Yahweh. And we know that it was Yahweh that glorified His Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the account of healings that were taking place And let's take a look at this account that was recorded in God's book. Acts 3 and verse 12. "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, 'You men of Israel, why do you marvel at this?'" So Peter was asking the question, why? "Why you look so earnestly upon us, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk?" So we can see it was about a healing that had taken place. Verse 13. "The God of Abraham," let's notice how it's written, "the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son, Jesus, who you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." And we understand Pilate understood that they were crucifying an innocent man, and Pilate wanted to let him go. And so he is placing the blame at that time because of the way that they had acted, and he was telling them so. But this makes it clear that it was Yahweh that glorified Jesus Christ. And there was a plan put in place, and the Christ was to suffer. And this was part of the plan of God. And until God revealed who God was and who Jesus Christ was, it was not clear. Until God revealed it through an end-time prophet. And it's how you know these things. Verse 14. "But you denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith by which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your fathers." Verse 18. "But those things which God before has shown by the mouth of the prophets, that Christ should suffer." And there are many instances in God's book that tell us about one that would come, about one that would become the Christ, and that he would suffer. And it was done through the prophets of God, brother. It's how it was done, and it's how you know. Last part of verse 18. "He has so fulfilled, repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And he, the Lord God, we need to understand that God is referred to as King, and Jesus Christ is also referred to as King in this book. And then it is Jesus Christ in the order of things after God the Father. And we understand this, that God is always first. The eternal God that always existed. And then it is Jesus Christ. And we understand that they both will be using the name King in God's book. And we can always know by the way that it is written in God's book. We saw this in the last sermons about Yahweh and his son, and how is it explained through an end-time prophet at the end of an age. "And he, Yahweh, shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you." So we can see what is being said, that it was preached before. "Which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive," let's notice, "until the time of restitution of all things, which God, Yahweh, has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began." So it goes all the way back in time, brethren. And we know how God, Yahweh, has spoken down through time through different ones, but has in this last time spoken to us through his son, which God, Yahweh, has spoken of by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. "For Moses truly said unto your fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, let's notice, of your brethren. It was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was from the tribe of Judah. And his lineage was the lineage of David. And we understand he was flesh. He was a human being. And it says, let's notice what's being said. Like unto me. Like unto me, him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Let's go to Deuteronomy 18. Let's turn over there quickly and see how this was written a long time ago. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 15. The eternal, your God, Yahweh, your God, will raise up unto you a prophet from the midst of you. So let's notice what is being said. And it was said a long time ago of your brethren. So it's just what we read in Acts, of your brethren. And we understand that Jesus Christ was from the lineage of David and that he was from the tribe of Judah, just like it was prophesied in God's book a long time ago. And like unto him you shall hearken according to all that you desired of the eternal your God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear the voice of the eternal, my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the eternal Yahweh said unto me, they have spoken well, which they have spoken. In verse 18, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto me, and will put my words in his mouth. Like unto me, and I will put my words into his mouth. So this gives understanding about Jesus Christ and who he is. And it gives understanding why he is called the Word of God. And God had it written a long, long time ago in his book. And he is called the Word of God. And no one else will ever have this role, brethren. His Father was Yahweh. And he shall speak them unto all that I shall command him. It's talking about the words that God would command him to speak. And we know that Jesus Christ was obedient to the will of his Father, to God's plan. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, Yahweh says, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So we can see that everyone that will be in God's family will have to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, their Lord and Master, their High Priest, and their King. And that is what you said when you entered into baptism. You agreed to accept these things. You agreed to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your Lord and Master, your High Priest, and now your soon coming King. Should bring you to your knees to understand what you have been offered and what you agreed to. I hope you understand what you agreed to. John 14 and verse 10. John 14 and verse 10. And let's see what was written that we have come to understand. John 14 and verse 10. God has revealed so much to his remnant church at the end of an age. Just before Jesus Christ would return to this earth. Therefore, I name the Church of God, PKG, preparing for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. John 14 and verse 10. Believe you not that I am in the Father and the Father in me. It's a question that was asked. Believe you not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? That's the question. And let's notice, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, So this makes it very clear that these were not his words. They are from Jesus' Father. The Father gave them to him, and he is the Son of God. And let's notice what was said. But the Father that dwells in me. So let's notice how it's being said, and it's very plain. He does the works. God has given you and me so much understanding, and Passover is approaching quickly. And when the understanding that we have been given, it should give greater meaning to you about Passover, of who Jesus Christ was and who he is and what he endured when he was upon this earth just so that you could be here at the end of an age. It's an awesome blessing that he did for you and me and for the whole world when we understand to become the Savior of all that wanted to be there, to be in the kingdom of God. Turn over to 2 John in verse 1. 2 John in verse 1. Since the apostasy, God has been blessing this remnant church with greater understanding. And this book, God's book, has been coming alive more and more. That's 2 John verse 1. And this book has come alive to God's end time church, the remnant church at the end of an age. But we could not have understanding about Jesus Christ and about God the Father without one sin at the end of an age. And until God gives understanding, we cannot know the things in this book, God's book, because we know how God works. We know how God has always worked. And that has not changed at the end of an age. And as we saw in the last sermon, Daniel wanted to know the end of it all. But God told him it was not for him to know at that time. It was for a specific time in man's history, the time of the end, the time that you and I find ourselves in. And we can see through the posts that are coming out that God is continuously revealing more and more to his church through his end time prophet. God's spirit does not stand still, brother. And it will not return to him empty. So we will be ever learning in the church of God, the true church of God. And it's exciting to know more of God's plan. And it's exciting to the ones that are faithful and loyal to God and his Son. Because they understand they do not know all that God is doing. We don't know it all. They understand God is not given all that he is doing. It's not over yet. But when God does reveal more, it's exciting. Puts another piece of the puzzle together. Gives us a little better picture of what God is doing. And so it will be in the millennium. God will continue to reveal more during that time. Like I said, when we look into this universe, just at that physical creation, our physical minds cannot comprehend what God is creating and the end of it all. 2 John, verse 1. And let's take a look what was written a long time ago and what was written about and who it was written to. The elder. Unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. And not I only, let's notice who and what was being said to them, but also all they that have known the truth. Let's read that one again. But also all they that have known the truth. Verse 2. For the truth's sake which dwells in us and shall be with us forever, grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see it again, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly, then I found of your children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto you, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after His commandments. And this is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves. Let's notice that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. They confuse themselves, and they believe that they have God outside the body of Christ. He then abides in the doctrine of Christ, let's notice, he has both the Father and the Son. And if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Verse 11, for he that bids him Godspeed is partaker, let's notice, of his evil deeds. That's what God says. And God calls it evil. And if we do these things, we'll find that the Spirit of God will no longer be working in those that partake of these things. It's just the way it is. And they will be cut off from the great God of this universe and His Son, Jesus Christ. It's a horrible thing that takes place. But you and I must always build upon the things that God gives to us, the things that God blesses us with, the things that help us to become stronger and not to become stagnant. Like I said earlier, God's Spirit demands growth. And we should know this. And if we fall into this state, God calls it evil. And this is a dangerous state to find yourself in. Let's turn to John chapter 3 and verse 34. And this is where God's book tells us again who sent Jesus Christ. John 3 and verse 34. For he whom God has sent. So this makes it very clear that God, El Shaddai, Yahweh, was who sent Jesus Christ. For he whom has sent speaks, let's notice, the words of God. He is the Word of God. And he is going to speak the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure unto him. But he does to you and me. And we only have a down payment, so to speak. Just a small amount of God's Spirit at baptism. It's very much like a down payment. And God did not give the Spirit in measure to Jesus Christ. And we can't comprehend that. Jesus Christ had God's Spirit without measure. Whatever he needed, he had excess. And it says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. So let's read this again. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. So it gives us understanding who Jesus Christ is and what he has been given. And with Passover on the horizon, it's a wonderful thing to understand about Jesus Christ and what he has been given. Let's go to Acts chapter 3 and verse 22. God has revealed so much to this remnant church at the end of an age. And it's amazing what has been given since the apostasy. We thought we had understanding back in the worldwide church of God, but now we have 57 truths. So we knew very little in the scheme of things. Acts 3 and verse 22. For Moses truly said unto his fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God, Yahweh, your God, raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it will come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet will be destroyed from among the people. This applies to those at the end of an age, just as much as it did then when it was written. God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, leads, he guides, and he directs his church, the body of Christ. And it's all of God, all of it. The great God of this universe. Yes, in all the prophets from Samuel, let's notice what is being said. Yes, in all the prophets from Samuel, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken have likewise foretold of these days. Over and over in God's book, it was written about God's Son, about a Messiah, about one who would become King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, to set up the government of God upon this earth. Verse 25. You are the children, let's notice, of the prophets. It's what's said in God's book. You are the children of the prophets. And of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in your seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed, in your seed. And when we understand what this is saying, it's God in us that makes us a part of the body. In order to have a relationship with God and his Son, we are the Israel of God. We are Zion, and it's said in many different ways in God's book. We are a spiritual creation. God is creating Elohim. And it's said in many different ways in God's book. But it all comes down to this. God is creating his family. Verse 23, it says, shall be destroyed from among the people. So it's talking about if one will not hear what is being said. We are the children of the prophets. And if we will not hear what is being said through God's servants, verse 24, all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, brings it down to our time, doesn't it, brethren? As many as have spoken have likewise foretold these days, the days we're talking about today, the end of an age. You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in your seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you from his iniquities. So we should be sobered by the times that we find ourselves in. When we look on the horizon, there cannot be much time left upon this earth. We are in the end times. And God has been preparing us for these times, preparing for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. And we can see things that are in this world, and we're just waiting. We're waiting for things to happen that will thrust us into a new age. And it can happen so fast, brother, with what we have upon this earth. Acts chapter 2. We went through this in the last sermon, but let's go back so we can fully understand what was said. Acts 2 and verse 25. For David spoke concerning him, Jesus Christ, I foresaw the eternal always before my face. So we can see what is written concerning Jesus Christ. For he, God, Yahweh, is at my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because you, Holy Father, that's what's being said, Yahweh will not leave my soul in hell, in Sheol, Hades. Neither will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. Let's notice what's being said. You, Yahweh, have been known, made known to me the ways of life. God had made it known to you and me, the ways of life. And it's been made through God and His Son, through a prophet at the end of an age, to a remnant church that is preparing for the return of God's Son to this earth. And it says, you have made known to me the ways of life. You shall make me full of joy with your countenance. So it's talking about Jesus Christ and what he was looking forward to. Jesus knew he was going to suffer. He knew this book. He knew what was written. And he knew what was written in God's book about him very well, and how he would have to suffer. And we will focus on those things in just a short while at Passover. And we will take a look at the suffering that Jesus Christ went through. And Jesus knew that his Father Yahweh would resurrect him from the dead. And he was looking forward to those things. Verse 29. Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us until this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God, Yahweh, had sworn an oath to him, to David, that's who it was to, that of the fruit of his loins, David's loins, according to the flesh, he, God, would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, David's throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, the grave. Neither did his flesh see corruption. And this is being quoted from Psalms 132, and I think we read it in the last sermon. Maybe not. But you don't have to turn there, as I will read this quickly. Psalms 32 and verse 11, if you want to note it, though. Yahweh, the Eternal, has sworn in truth unto David, and he will not turn from it. I will set upon your throne the fruit of your body. And this was a promise that was made. And it makes it clear it was Yahweh that said it. Acts 13 and verse 16. Acts 13 and verse 16. When we talk about the lineage of David and what is taking place down through time, it tells about a throne that would exist even to the return of Jesus Christ upon this earth to sit upon that throne. And there is a stone in Scotland in a vault. And it's like a vault that you would find in a bank. And it is the stone that kings were coronated upon. They know this. And it is the stone that was under the throne in England at one time. But today it is in Scotland in that bank vault. And I don't think they really understand anything about what it really represents. But they guard it. They guard it under armed guards. You can't even take a picture of it. They won't even let you take a camera in there to snap a picture. That's how well guarded it is. And they do not understand who they really are and what their part has been down through time in man's history. But it's exciting to you and me because we have understanding of what it's all about. The world is blind to these things at this time. Why would anyone carry a rock down through time? Does it make any sense to you? You're going to drag a rock down through time behind you back to your house? Think about it. I mean, and it would be pretty heavy to be toting all these years once you see it. What's it weigh, about 400 pounds? Somewhere in that range. And we know that it went through Ireland by Jeremiah. And now its resting place is now in Scotland. And it's also called Jacob's Pillar Stone. It's called a Coronation Stone. So we can see just by the names that are used, where it came from. We don't have to know a lot more. We just know by the names that it's carried down through time. Jacob's pillar stone goes way back. Way back, a long time in man's history. But it's exciting to you and me, that rock. Because we understand the lineage and what was promised by the great God of this universe that we just read about. And how that promise would come about. Acts 13 and verse 16. All the lineage of kings and queens, different ones that have gone through time, and they come from the same place when we understand. Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, "Men of Israel, and you that fear God, give audience." In other words, listen. "The God of this people, Israel, chose our fathers." Just notice what's being said. The God of the people, Israel, chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought them out of it. And we know who did it. It was Yahweh that did it. Verse 22. Breaking into a story here. "And we had removed him." So it's talking about Saul. "And he," God, "had removed him." So we know that Saul was the king. "He raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed has God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus." So it was Yahweh who promised these things to David. Let's go back to Acts 2 and verse 32. Acts 2 and verse 32. "This Jesus has God raised up, wherefore we are all witnesses. Therefore, being on the right hand of God, exalted, and having received of the Father," let's notice, "the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended unto the heavens, but he said himself," David did, "Yahweh said unto my Lord," David's Lord, "sit you at my right hand until I make your foes your footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God, Yahweh, has made this same Jesus whom you have hung upon a pole, both Lord and Christ." Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. Just back a few pages. Acts 1 and verse 1. "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs." So we can see that Jesus Christ appeared unto them and that he taught them. "And he was seen of them 40 days and speaking all these things to them." Let's notice what it was about, of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. "And being assembled together with them, commanded them." So this was said by Jesus Christ, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father. So we can see that it was the Father's promise that was being talked about. The promise of the Father. So it's talking about the Holy Spirit that would be poured out, which he said, "You have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be immersed." Let's notice, it's what it means. Baptized with the Holy Spirit. And that is the picture that is being painted. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. So let's go back to the book of Joel. And let's see what was written a long time ago. about something that would take place, about what God was going to do. Joel chapter 2 and verse 27. And it's between Hosea and Amos, if that'll help you. And it's just a few pages, so sometimes it's a little hard to get to. But it's Joel chapter 2 and verse 27 where it's recorded. And you shall know that I, Yahweh, am in the midst of Israel, and that I am, let's notice, the eternal your God, Yahweh your God, and none else. Better said in the New King James, there is no other that has eternally existed, brethren. And my people shall never be diminished. So we can see what was written. There will be an end time remnant upon this earth when it's all said and done, when Jesus Christ returns. God had it written in His book that His people would never be diminished. I don't care how many fight. I don't care how many blog against us. There will be a remnant when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. And it will come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. So we can see what God had written a long time ago. And those of us with God's Spirit, we can see the progression down through time as God's plan unfolds. We can see the picture. The millennium is just on the horizon when God's Spirit will go out upon the whole face of this earth. And this will be a very exciting time for God's people. And it be exciting for God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, when this takes place. They've been waiting a long time. And it will be the first fruits that will be there, as we know, and then those that will live on to this new age. And the first fruits will help set up the kingdom of God upon this earth, to set up the government of God upon this earth for a righteous government. And it says, and it will come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. The young men will see visions. And also upon my servants and upon my handmaidens in those days, I will pour out my spirit. The Holy Spirit was a promise from God, Yahweh. The pouring out of the Holy Spirit that we just read about by the prophet Joel. And it paints you and me a picture of how it will take place in God's plan. And it began way back then. And just as Daniel said a long, long time ago, when Daniel wrote about the stone that would strike the image, and then it would begin to fill the whole earth. So it paints you and me a picture of how it will take place. And it's just as the post that just came out put another brush stroke on the painting to make the picture just a little clearer. And it is like a painting that is being painted down through time for you and me, because we have God's Spirit. And every brush stroke we see just a little clearer, brethren. We've come to understand how God deals with you and me. And it's through the present truth. It's how it's done. And every little speck of that truth makes it a little plainer to you and me. You can look at what we don't know, or you can look at what we do know. But the millennium is just on the horizon when God's Spirit will be poured out upon this earth. And the picture will become even clearer when that takes place. Verse 32. And it will come to pass that whoever shall call upon the name of the Eternal shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Eternal Yahweh has said. So this should send chills up your spine, brethren. And in the remnant, let's notice, whom the Lord shall call. We are a remnant at the end of an age. Those that God has called at the end of this age. So there are things to be fulfilled, beginning with the time when Peter and all those on the day of Pentecost obeyed the command to go and wait. And here it is, we find it written again. The promise of the Father, Yahweh, is where it came from. And it's a wonderful thing to understand the plan of God. And it has been given to you, this remnant church, at the end of an age, to prepare for the most awesome time in man's history. Never be another time like this. To prepare for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. And it's a wonderful thing to understand who God the Father is and what took place through time. It's a wonderful thing to understand who Jesus Christ is. And we're only just getting a glimpse of that one at this time. But we understand the reason that he came to this earth, so that we could become a part of the God family, Elohim. And eventually to the whole earth, when we understand the whole plan of God. Those that want to be a part of the God family. Let's go to Matthew 24 and verse 14. It's a very familiar scripture. Matthew 24 and verse 14. God told us that the gospel of this kingdom would be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end would come. And in verse 15, some of us sitting in this room lived through the abomination of desolation that took place. And we know what ensued in that abomination. It was the abomination that made desolate in the church of God. And some of us lived through this. We saw the deception that followed. We saw the end results were a third that Ezekiel tells us about. And that only a tithe of that last third would come through. It's wrote a long time ago in God's book. So we are witnesses to this abomination that took place. And we are here now. The remnant that God has brought back out of that spiritual sleep that ensued. The remnant that will be here at the return of Jesus Christ. And we are looking for that soon coming kingdom. And when we look on the world scene, we can see that the return of Jesus Christ is approaching rapidly. God told us in Matthew 24 and verse 45, it's just down a little, and a question was asked. Who is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? So it's a question that was asked, and in verse 46 we find, blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. Matthew 25 and verse 14. We find the parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered. Let's notice how this is said. His goods to them. And it's about how we treat what God gives to you and me. And it's something that you and I should always reflect upon. Especially as we have seen those that were among us and how they treated what God revealed to them. Verse 15. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. So this is an interesting assessment of how it's written, because that's the way it is at the end of this age. As Jesus Christ is preparing to return to this earth, he's given different abilities and placed people in different positions in the church of God. And we have seen how some have treated what God gave to them. Verse 29, let's notice what's being said. Verse 29. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, what he has will be taken away. Verse 30. And cast an unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we can see the job descriptions that were given, and it's different for each. But there is one purpose behind it all, and that is to prepare for the kingdom of God that is coming to this earth. And it is those in the church of God that will be at the beyond the front lines, so to speak, as this kingdom starts to come to this earth. Let's go to Matthew 4 and verse 12. Matthew 4 and verse 12. And it's when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, and he was leaving Nazareth, and he came and dwelled in Capernaum. That's Matthew 4 and verse 12. And it said that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, verse 16, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." And it's the same today. The people of this earth are sitting in the shadow of death. And there's a lot of death coming upon this earth. And most are sitting in the shadow of death, and they don't know it. Just as much so as those people in Scotland don't understand what that stone's all about. They don't have a clue. And what is coming upon this earth, most upon this earth, as we know, don't know what is coming. They think they can take care of it. They don't think it will actually take place. But you and I know in the plan of God what will take place, because it's written in God's book a long time ago. But some are beginning to see the dangers when we look on the news. But they do not realize what was put in place, a plan a long, long time ago. And you and I understand the end results of that plan. But there is a light that will start to be revealed. And as we move toward that soon coming kingdom, there is a message that will begin to be brought to light. And it will be about focusing on our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we will see the same message that we find in verse 17 that Jesus Christ began to preach when he was here upon this earth. And let's notice what he said: "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Matthew 4 and verse 18. It was when Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting nets into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed them. And it's the same for those sitting in this room, those that are listening, those that will be there, and all that have been called by God. You will become fishers of men, as this is written, as the kingdom of God moves closer to becoming a reality to this earth. And it's an awesome thing that is about to take place upon this earth that we read by the prophet Joel. It's an awesome thing that will begin to take place. Verse 21, we find, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. And so it has been for most of us. Most of us have been separated from parents, brothers, sisters, friends. But there's coming a time in the near future that things will be different. Matthew 5 and verse 1. We know them by heart, but let's go back through them again. And let's see what Jesus was saying. And seeing the multitudes, he went upon a mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So Jesus is talking about a better time that is coming. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So this is what is in your future. When the great God of this universe sends His Son, Jesus Christ, to set up the kingdom of God. Verse 11. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so, let's notice, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And it's no different now. We are a persecuted church, brethren. And they are still persecuting the prophets that are upon this earth. This has not changed. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. So we can see that it is the church of God that will be used for the job that is ahead, to prepare a people for the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And it's imperative that we seek God's guidance. His time is running out for the church of God to prepare itself. And we are the salt of the earth. It's what God says. It's the analogy that is used. And it is the church of PKG that is being prepared for this kingdom. And it will be like salt sprinkled out upon this earth, to finally teach man the true way of life, the correct way to live, to bring them into the city of peace. And you are that salt. Verse 14, it says, a city that is set upon a hill cannot be hidden. And at the return of Jesus Christ, this will become a reality. The people of this earth will begin to comprehend the true light, the true way, the way to the city of peace. And it will not be hidden from this world anymore. Once Satan is chained, it will be as God says in verse 15. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. And this will begin to take place. The truth of God will flow around this whole earth, just like God said in His book, just like Daniel said when that stone strikes that image. And it is like a lampstand. And this is a wonderful way of putting it, the way God had it written in His book. And it will give light to everyone, notice, that is in the house. Those that want this way of life. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men. So God is telling us of a way that we should conduct our life. And He is explaining, and He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So we in the church of God are to be an example in the way that we conduct our lives. And it's a way to live. And the church of God will be an example to all the people that are left upon this earth, to let their light shine before men so that they will know the way to the city of peace. Verse 17. Let's notice what Jesus said. It kind of destroys the Protestant view. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so, shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 6 and verse 1. Matthew 6 and verse 1. God gives instructions to His end time church, the remnant church. And there is a way that we are to conduct our lives, a way of life. In Matthew 6 and verse 1 we find, "Take heed that you not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them." It's not what it's about. It's not about being seen by men. God says in verse 3, "But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your right hand or your left hand know what it's doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will Himself reward you openly." So it's not about being seen in this world. Verse 5. And it's where Jesus was telling them how to pray, and let's look at His instructions of what He said. "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the street, that they may be seen by men." So what this is saying to us as the church of God, especially to the ministry, that there are to never do anything that even denotes an attitude of superiority or look at my position, as this is very putrid in the eyes of God. God looks for a meek and humble spirit in those that He works with. And never are we to portray ourselves as being better or being seen, as God puts it in His book. Verse 6. Let's notice the instructions that were given. "But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door," let's notice, "pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask them. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father," let's notice, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." So let's notice what we should be praying for. We should hallow God's name, first and foremost, and honor the great God of this universe. And pray, let's notice, what we are to pray for, what we are preparing for. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God's kingdom and God's will to come to this earth. And we are here today, and hopefully we're seeking in our lives so that we can see that kingdom that is coming to this earth. Some to be a part of that 144,000, and some to see Jesus Christ returning in those clouds, to see the most awesome event that will ever take place upon this earth, to live into that millennium. Either way, it's a blessing from the great God of this universe to see these things either way. Verse 10, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that's what it's about, to bring the kingdom of God to this earth so that men will have access to a way of life, access to the city of peace that is coming to this earth, to bring about peace that so easily eludes mankind. Verse 11. "Give us this day our daily bread." And that's why you're here today, on God's Sabbath, seeking spiritual food to be fed. That God has prepared for His church to move His plan forward, to put another piece of the puzzle together, so to speak, another brushstroke in the plan of God, to make the picture even clearer. And we should always ask Him to feed us, especially daily, with the truth, so that we may know and understand what His will is for us as children of God. Verse 12, something we are to do. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us, let's notice, from the evil one. The one that is deceiving this whole world at this time. And he is a powerful being. And it's what you and I should be constantly praying about, is these things we just read that Jesus said we should be praying about. And not fall into the traps of this world, this society that we find ourselves in. And not be tempted beyond what we are able to resist. We all sin, but there's been a way made for you and me at this time through the Passover that is coming quickly, that we will be taking part of in just a little while. And we know that it was Jesus Christ that became that Passover so that we could observe this Passover and be delivered from sin. That's why he came, for that forgiveness of sin that would be made available to mankind, all of mankind that want this way of life. Let's go to Matthew 10 and verse 16. Matthew 10 and verse 16. We understand that persecutions are just a part of our life. And that's just the way it is for those that are a part of the church of God, this remnant church at the end of an age. And when we are brought into God's church, we begin to understand what it's all about. We've had sermons about how good and evil, how it was created, and how God would use and turn that around and use it to help build his church. We understand that persecutions will come until it's all said and done. We know that. Verse 16, God says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." And we understand this statement very well. And this is a good analogy. They hate us without a cause, brethren. They hate us because of what you believe. And those that were a part of this church that walked side by side, and once they leave, they turn, we are in the midst of wolves, so to speak. And it's a good way of putting it, because they become hostile in the environment in Satan's world. And God has sent you and me out as sheep into this world. And God tells you and me, let's notice, to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves, but to recognize the dangers that are there when one does this. So we can see the way that we are to react. And in verse 17, there's a warning, because it is Satan's world. And he tells us to beware of men. Let's notice. For they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. And we know the history of God's people. We know what's taking place down through time. It's no different now at the end of an age. So we do have to be wise and not throw our pearls before the swine, so to speak. We understand that this was written to the apostles, but it still applies to you and me. And we know that some have had to come before these authorities in Satan's world. And we know how that turned out. But we also know that God allowed it, and it's always for a purpose. Verse 24, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master." So that's how you and I are to react to our surroundings. And we are to be like our teacher. But those that have turned and put themselves above those that they learned the truth from, and they have forgotten where they learned the truth, it's what they do, and they do it quickly. And they would deliver us up then if it was in their power. But God tells you and me how to react. And we are to be like our teacher. And we are to be preparing for that kingdom that is coming to this earth. And we are to do the job that is set before us so that we can do God's will, the way that God wants the job done. We are to use this book as our example and the examples that Jesus Christ set before us. The way to deal with one another. The way to deal with mankind. And God tells us, even in this hostile environment, God gives you and me instructions. Matthew 10 and verse 27. Matthew 10 and verse 27. Whatever I tell you in the dark, and the only place there is light upon this earth is where God's Spirit is, brother. So that has to be the church of God preparing for the kingdom that is coming to this earth. That's where the light is. And it says, so speak it in the light and what you hear in the ear. In other words, what you hear from God. We are to speak it to the church of God. It's where you hear it. Remember what we read earlier? Read about early. Those that would hear. Preach on the housetops to the church of God. That's what it's saying. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. And they can kill this physical body, but they cannot kill what God has given to you, brethren. What God has given to you and me is begotten children to become Elohim. But rather fear him who is able. Let's notice, there is no fear of God, brother, for some. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. It's talking about the one who has power over life and death. The power over the grave. And he has made a way for those that rebel. And God can destroy that body through the grave, never to be resurrected again. God tells us in verse 29, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. Verse 30, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. All of them, brethren. The eternal God of this universe set in motion a plan before time ever began. And those sitting in this room, those who are part of the Church of God PKJ, are part of that plan to carry out God's will, to prepare a people at the end of an age for the return of His Son, Jesus Christ. And the hairs of all of your heads are numbered, those that will be there. God has a purpose for you. He called you. He set you apart. He gave you His truth. And now you are a part of that end time remnant that will be here to usher in the kingdom of God upon this earth if you continue in the faith. Some to be a part of the 144,000, the spiritual temple that is coming to this earth. And the rest to live on into the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And God says the very hairs of your head are numbered. Because He called you. He knows you. And if you desire this way of life, you have nothing to fear. Verse 31, God tells us, do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. You are part of the plan of God. At the end of an age, to see the most awesome events that will ever take place upon this earth. And you've heard me say it over and over. Just to see the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And that's an awesome thing to see. Matthew 11 and verse 25. Let's look at what Jesus Himself said. Jesus answered and said, Matthew 11 and verse 25, I thank you, Father, Yahweh, Lord of heaven and earth, that you, Yahweh, have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes, to you and me, brethren. And he has chose to call you at the end of an age to learn, as a child learns, what is his will, God's will, Yahweh's will. Verse 27, let's notice, all things have been delivered to me, Jesus Christ, by my Father, Yahweh. And no one knows the Son, Jesus Christ, except Yahweh, the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father, Yahweh, except the Son, Jesus Christ, and the one to whom the Son, Jesus Christ, wills to reveal him, Yahweh. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, brethren, that's not very far away. The millennium is not that far away. We are on a countdown. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. And that's what we're doing. We are learning from Jesus Christ and God the Father. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Brethren, I've lived in this world, as all of you have. And I could not imagine going back into this world, Satan's world. And I find that God's burden is light. When I view where I have come from, out of Satan's world, this is a very easy yoke. And it is an easy burden to bear. And I cannot imagine being any other place. There is no other place on the face of the earth than I would want to be other than in God's church. To learn more about our God and His Son, Jesus Christ. And there is no other place to be, brother. Matthew 13 and verse 10. And it's where Jesus was speaking in parables. And it's where the disciples came and asked him a question. Matthew 13 and verse 10. The question that was asked. Why do you speak to them in parables? Verse 11. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. We are on a countdown to when the mysteries of the kingdom of God will be revealed to all of mankind. And that's why we are here prepared for these mysteries that will be revealed to the whole world. To prepare for the job that is ahead for the Church of God, PKG. So that we can be prepared for the masses when these mysteries are revealed to them. When their minds will be opened to God's truth. And then they realize that they have to repent and be baptized. Verse 12. For whoever has, to him more will be given. So there is going to be a lot put upon you, brother. God says, whoever has, to him more will be given and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. There are choices to be made when you want to live this way of life. We have to want what God is offering. And if you do not want what God is offering, God says he will take it away. Verse 13. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. But they will in the near future, in just a short while. This was a prophecy from Isaiah, and Isaiah said, hearing you will hear and will not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of these people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their hearts, better said the mind, and turn, so that I should heal them. The healing of the mind. But let's notice verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and did not see. And to hear what you hear and did not hear it. We saw how Daniel wanted to know. God told him to seal up this book. And we know that many have asked how long? And I know you and I think the same thing sometimes. How long? But when we look on the horizon, it's what is taking place upon this earth. Russia, China, Iran, I've said it so many times. And some may get tired of hearing it. But our lives can so change in a moment in time now. When these weapons are begin to be unleashed upon this earth, it won't take long. And Jesus Christ would have to return quickly. I can't imagine what would take place in just 1 hour if they began to release nuclear weapons upon this earth. So, brethren, we understand where we are in time. Daniel wanted to know. God told him to seal up the book, that it was not for his time, it was for the time of the end. The time that you and I find ourselves in. When we look on the horizon, time is running out for man, brother. It's what you hear in the news now. Russia said that they could just bring us to a nuclear heap of ashes, that they had that capability. And we know they do. And not only they, but many others in the world now have these nuclear weapons that could destroy every living thing upon the face of this earth. But this book is being unsealed at the end of an age to a remnant church that God said would be here at the end of this age to prepare for the coming kingdom that is coming to this earth to set up the government of God upon this earth. And I hope you understand what you have been offered to be a part of, brother. But Daniel wanted to know. But God has sent an end time prophet to unseal the meaning of the words of this book so that you and I can understand the church that is preparing for the kingdom that is coming to this earth in just a short while. And I hope you understand the blessings that has been bestowed upon you to have this understanding. And now for the closing prayer.